listening to No Truth on KOWA 106.5. And today we have a couple of guests, and we're going to be talking about the figure of Jesus and what role he's played in our lives in order to get a clear picture of Christianity's implications for everyone today, Christians and non-Christians. I'm also going to play some excerpts from some interviews I've done on some people asking them this question, who is Jesus? So I'm trying to get a picture of Jesus in Olympia. I know that early Christianity was a very diverse movement, that this homogenous, coherent movement that's portrayed by fundamentalist Christians today is not accurate according to any kind of evidence. And I believe that Christianity still to this day is very diverse. Many people disagree about why Jesus is important, who Jesus is, and what role he plays in their life. And we'll listen to the rest of Blink of Her Eye. This is a song about the goddess that I wrote, and then we'll go into the interview. Thank you. The people of Olympia speak of a man named Jesus. I was wondering, who is Jesus? And so now, I go around Olympia asking people who Jesus is. What you are about to hear is what they have told me. Their answers are diverse, but an answer that I do not often come across is, who is Jesus? Most people have some idea already, whether it is Jesus, the guy that Christians talk about, or Jesus, my Lord and Savior. A fundamental thesis of this little project which you are experiencing is that Jesus plays an active role as an autonomous archetypal figure in the collective unconscious of the people of Olympia. People who are not Christians are nonetheless heavily impacted by what others believe about Jesus. Sweet. So, describe who you are and who you say Jesus is.
Well, I'm Charles von Holstein. I am 20 years old, and I live in Olympia. And I think Jesus was this dude. Heard he was Jewish, like myself. And he seems to be a legendary figure of the church and of this country, I guess. And I heard that he got crucified for people's sins, which is odd to me because, like, I don't know. Yeah, somebody died thousands and thousands of years ago because of bad things we do. I don't know. That's kind of odd.
Yeah, like,
and I think he's God's son too, right?
Yeah. Do you actually think he's got God's son? Well, or have you heard people say that?
This is the weird thing about that. It's like I always hear people like, Jesus is our savior. Jesus is God or whatever, you know? And I'm like, who's God then? Like, if Jesus is the Lord, then who the fuck is the Lord, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus, what the
fuck? Yeah, so the figure of Jesus has brought up these...
Yeah, it's like, is Jesus and God attached in, like, by the neck, you know? It's like... Like, I don't chill with my dad that much, you know? I don't get referred to as the Lord also, or as my dad, you know?
It's odd. Not, like, the same person as your dad. You're a different person. Mm-hmm. Or else he wouldn't be your dad. He'd be yourself. Yeah. That's interesting. I like that
word.
Point.
Thanks, dog.
So, any other observations? Any other...
Yeah.
Who is Jesus?
All right, well, first of all, I heard, well, this is stuff I heard, but, like, there's mad depictions of Jesus as, like, this white dude, like, chilling in Ohio, you know?
Yeah.
Like, on some Midwestern, like, church cult.
Yeah.
But, like, Jesus was straight up curly-haired, like dark-skinned, like, legend. So, I think that whole image is kind of mixed up in my brain.
That's interesting.
Word.
So, do you identify with him as... like a member of your same culture
well,
as a Jew?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Like, I think, like when I think about Jesus, you know, I'd think, like, oh, that dude was Jew, like, back in the day. I don't really think, like, oh, my God, the Lord and Savior, but I think, like, oh, just another homie chilling on the block, you know?
Yeah.
That thought about cool shit got, like, several millions and millions of people, like...
So do you think Christianity today misunderstands the historical Jesus?
Well, I don't know if misunderstands is the word, but it's, like, maybe, like, has no idea about what he was like because it was so far, far away, you know, in time. Maybe misunderstands, Just, like, doesn't know anything about him because he's born, like, thousands of years ago, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, what do we know about somebody born thousands of years ago?
Yeah, anybody.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know shit about that.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, like, when's... I don't know what the... like, who... what the oldest evidence of human life is, you know? Like, what's the oldest person ever found in, like, an archaeological dig?
Yeah.
Probably older than how old Jesus is, I think, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah, there's varying opinions on that subject.
Yeah.
But, so anything else you want to say about Jesus?
No.
Okay.
That's all.
Well, thank you.
No problem.
My name is CJ.
Do you have any, like, are you Christian?
No.
Have you been exposed to Christianity before?
Yeah, I was baptized as a child.
Okay. Okay. What religion? What denomination?
Christianity, just like...
like non-denominational?
Yeah, not that... I mean, I was in large cathedrals when I was a kid and then in smaller ones later on. I'm not... I was young, so...
just Christianity.
Yeah, just blatant whatever Christianity.
Okay, okay, so what... who is Jesus?
I think Jesus is a character that was promoting the, quote, Lord, and then bastardized and portrayed it as someone who he wasn't later in life by white culture.
Mm-hmm. So, what Christianity thinks of Jesus today is not necessarily accurate.
Not, I don't feel so.
Yeah. Are there any... stories about Jesus that come to your mind? What did he do, you know what I mean? What was his purpose?
I think his purpose, from my reading and understanding, I think the overall purpose of this person saying that they're real in the first place was just, like, promoting well-being through people and, like, kindness and just another martyr in another place to, like, promote... people being good, I guess?
Mm.
But, I mean, that's just what I have read.
And personally, you don't think Jesus was a historical person?
No. Well, I mean, I guess technically, yes, because throughout history, he's been, like, such a prominent individual, so I guess historically might be in the right category.
Yeah. Any other big Jesus words?
Other than, I couldn't give less of a about Jesus.
Cool. That's that's what we want to hear.
Right.
Getting a picture of Jesus in Olympia.
Right.
I am Jesus.
Who are you?
Everyone and everything. I am Dionysus, the god of wine. I come from everywhere, always, constantly. Died and reborn in every instant. Like that.
I am Zadrius
Trismegistus.
I am attempting to fully awaken Shiva within myself, meaning that I am attempting to become a complete expression of the mythological figure known as the Light Bringer, or Anyabo, the vessel of light, meaning that I am the channel through which the will of Shekinah or Sophia or Lucina or Mary or Kamon or Venus, or whatever name you want to, Siren Mother, whatever name you want to use to call the great Snake Mother. I am attempting to become the vessel through which her will is made manifest, meaning that I am attempting to become Lucifer. meaning that I am a Satanist the way that Jesus was a Satanist.
Okay, so who is Jesus?
I am Jesus, and you're in Jesus. We're all Jesus. Jesus is the sacrificial lamb. Jesus is every instant. Every instant, all of creation is born, is destroyed, and reborn. There is the active expression of being, and the recessive or the dying expression of being. And these are the two extremes. Jesus is the point where they meet in the middle. So Jesus is the sacrifice that's made so that the active and the dying can meet in one place and their power can be taken in and made beneficial, made so that all of being can become a fully representational expression of that power.
So, who is Mary?
Mary is one name given to the Divine Mother or the Absolute. The Absolute is the force which is constituted by the duality of Lucifer the Lightbringer and Lucina the Light, or the luminous and the illuminous. Sophia being the flame and Lucifer being the illuminated one, the one harboring, the one carrying the flame. The one in which, because a flame is not visible unless it is burning something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Unless the flame is contained, it can't be made visible. So Lucifer is the burning one.
Carl Jung talks about the doctrine of privatio boni, which is when Christians took all evil out of their archetypal self. So they said, Jesus is wholly good. He's all good. And according to the psychological law of enantiodromia, that statement that Jesus is all good necessitates an all bad figure. Now when you say you're Jesus, are you the fragmented and differentiated Jesus after the dualism has been created, or are you the primal Jesus encompassing good and bad?
The primal Jesus.
Related to
Houdé, Hermes, the king of the dead.
Hermes, the androgynous child.
The thrice born. Zadrius, the thrice born. The king of the dead, Adonai. My real name is Bacchus. So from now on, when people talk about Jesus, I would prefer that in order to clear up the confusion and everything, from now on, when all the Christian leaders are talking about me, they should use the word Bacchus and not Jesus anymore. Because it'll make for less confusion. And if they don't do that, then they're blasphemers.
Well, we'll see what they do.
All right.
I think Jesus is ultimate purity.
Purity? What do you mean?
Like a good model for, like, just, he, you know, he never sinned. He never did anything out of what was, I guess, natural, right?
I have no idea who Jesus is.
Well, then, just what is Jesus to you? Not who he is, but who is he to you? What does he represent? You have a prayer of his hand. Don't you think you should know?
Yeah.
Or maybe have an idea?
Just knowing that something or some kind of being is always there around you without having to physically see something. Just knowing emotionally and spiritually that something is around you.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging out, chilling.
So like a helper?
Yeah.
Like a guardian angel?
Yeah, in a way. But then, like, you have guardian angels, yeah, in the world, but then where are they at when people are, you know, getting murdered by the thousands, getting mass killed?
But where's Jesus?
Well, we can't say where he is. Maybe he has a bigger plan. Maybe he needs somebody to see all these people dying in order to make something else better.
Hmm.
For sure.
That's exactly what I said, but just in a different way.
Mm-hmm. If somebody came up to you and said, like, who's Jesus? What would you answer to them?
He's not one particular person. He's everything. Because how can you really say who he is? He's not. Yeah, there might be some person who died on the cross, biblically, in Jerusalem or whatever, but you can't really say spiritually who he is.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Right on! Right on, Jesus.
Any other ideas? Well, what about Mary, the mother, Mary Magdalene? What do you think about them?
I don't know how somebody could just miraculously be pregnant and still be a virgin. Yeah, because how can you be holy and a virgin at the same time?
Yeah, how do you even know what the meaning of holy is if you've never experienced the unholiness of it?
Yeah. That's true.
I think sexuality, the way that Catholics and Christians, especially male-dominant roles in religion, try to portray sexuality is that they don't want... It's more of a way to keep women feeling low, lower than men. Because every comment about sexuality is directed towards women, not so much towards men. Like, she's a whore, she's this, she's that. But it's never said that about a man.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a way to control women and to keep them at a really low level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's not like that nowadays. Women really lash out in their sexuality. And sometimes it's not always a positive thing, but it's not always a negative thing either.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Jesus has, like, gone through a lot of changes, you know?
Yeah. Like, is Jesus even an important, like, person as we're in a, like, enormous universe?
You know? Why do people pray to Jesus more than God? Like, why do people, like, speak of Jesus as if he was, like...
Jesus is more approachable. Human. Like, it's a more human connection.
I don't know. Do you think... I just kind of wonder if Jesus is, like, an important part of the world, you know?
Yeah.
Do you think so?
Well, Carl Jung, you know who that guy is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talks about Jesus as being the personification of the archetype of the self. It's our image of wholeness.
Jesus, what if the internet was similar to Jesus, or Jesus was similar to the internet, and we could all have our input? Like, the internet's really hands-on, like, you can learn how to, you know, make a website and put it on the internet. Like, but I feel like the problem with religion is, like, you can't, especially, you know, dogmatic religion, you have no say, and you're just there for the ride. But what if Jesus was, like, the internet, and you could just get real involved in Jesus like that? You know, you could just post your blog every day on Jesus.
Jesus will be in the iPhone app.
Yeah. You know, it's weird. Jesus is like a ghost. You know, it just like lingers on. But I don't know if he necessarily should be lingering on, or we should like set him as an example of being a human being, because we should just be like looking at ourselves and not like trying to like find ourselves in something.
He's actually the creation of just like the goddess of fertility, and we're like forgetting about Mary, like that she's like this goddess of like motherhood and fertility, and like he is the creation of her.
Sweet.
When I think about Jesus, I think about peace and love and how he, you know, came here to teach us. I also think that Buddha and some others were sent here to pass on a similar message, all of it teaching us, you know, how to live and, you know, the difference between right and wrong and the consequences thereof, you know, and sin, karma, whatever, you know. And yeah. That's what I think.
Cool. That's perfect. So, who is Jesus?
Jesus was a hippie, man. He was like the first hippie.
Okay.
About love and peace and, I don't know, a corrupt church just I don't know, destroyed all his values.
So he was pointing to a corrupt system?
He was... I mean, his message was destroyed by a corrupt system. Oh. It was
usurped.
It was made profane.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can hear that. What do you think, Greg?
I think he's a baby.
Baby Jesus.
Jesus. He was only a baby and will ever be a baby.
Baby. Is that all you gotta say?
Yeah.
Sweet.
You know, like, Jesus is just, you know, he did some things, or maybe he didn't, and people fought, like, bloody wars over it, and people hate other people because they don't believe in Jesus, or people do all kinds of in Jesus' name. And if he were a real person alive today, I don't think he'd appreciate that.
I think standardization really over Christianity, you know, making everybody just, like, do something that, like, so it could be massively, like, recognized and understood.
You mean accept him into your heart?
What?
Is that what you meant? Accept him into your heart part?
Well, no, like, more just, like, what Steve was talking about, like, standardizing it, so it was, like, one particular sect's interpretation of Jesus became, like, a standard.
Or one particular political powerhouse in their interpretation of it.
So you gotta
decentralize Jesus. Wait, này hả má? Cô nghe bà tội.
So those were some people from Olympia and their ideas about Jesus. I ended with that quote, we gotta decentralize Jesus, because it's in line with my idea about how we should approach this situation, because as I look at it, many people are saying many things about who Jesus is, and I imagine that it's always been this way. If the more we look into, like, the literature that came out of early Christianity, the more we see that there have always been disputes over who Jesus is and why he was important. I think it's time that we just start, like, listening to each other about it and try to understand how the different images of Jesus affect our behavior, because I think the way we look at Jesus will have implications for the way we look at the world, and the way we look at the world will have implications for the way we behave in the world. So I'm interested in seeing what people think about Jesus, and I have Evan and Joanna here, and whatever it is they think about Jesus, you're going to hear about it, and it's going to be cool. So here's Evan.
Okay. So
wait, one sec, sorry. There you go.
Okay, so
it's not working still.
Why don't you just switch microphones?
Good idea.
All right, that was like 2 minutes of dead air there. That's good. So, so I guess what I think about Jesus, and actually I did have a mother who was Catholic and my dad wasn't really religious. So, you know, I understand the whole, preset concepts about Jesus. I mean, personally, I think the guy who, mentioned him as a hippie really had an excellent point. I mean, Jesus was a very liberal guy. I guess politically we'd have to call him a leftist, or maybe even to some extent a socialist. I mean, he wanted to feed the hungry. He wanted to clothe the poor. He clearly didn't like war. He didn't like the money changers, you know, anybody who was trying to profit off religion. He didn't like them, kicked him out of the temple. So, I mean, you have to think about this idea of him as this, you know, free market, and him as the, he'd love this war and all that stuff. I mean, the people who seem to be use him more than anybody else have him all wrong, just in my opinion.
So the people who use them more than anybody else, do you mean mainstream America? Do you mean...
The people who, invoke his name when carrying something out, they generally seem to have it all wrong. You know, like Pat Robertson, right? He's talking about Haiti.
Yeah.
And instead of talking about, oh, these poor people in this poor situation, he's saying Jesus doesn't like these people. Apparently they made a pact with Satan when they overthrew the French 200 years ago.
So he says, yeah. Yes. Pat Robertson.
Yeah, that's just an easy one right there, right? Yeah. Pat Robertson.
Yeah, I actually mentioned that on a couple shows back. That's cool you bring it up again.
Yeah.
Well, when you talk about Jesus as a socialist, where do you get this image from? Is it something that you talk about in your family? Is it something you've studied and come to this conclusion? Is it your just general gist you get about Jesus?
I'd say a mixture of things. I come from a pretty liberal family myself, yeah. But, you know, I've had to go to church. I've heard some of the stuff like Jesus wouldn't like gay people. And Jesus loves everybody, right? That's sort of his deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
So there's a contradiction. He loves everyone, but except gay people.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
stuff like that.
And you're saying that when he's invoked, it's most often he's being invoked by people who are using him in a way that's not historically accurate?
Yeah, and a lot of the time, to really be more concise on this, people who want to use, you know, the Bible for any kind of political gain, they usually quote the Old Testament. They don't quote the New Testament.
Good point.
Yeah, and the whole point of the New Testament is it's supposed to invalidate large portions of the Old Testament, particularly the parts about stoning.
Yeah.
that's just an example there.
Mm-hmm. So, when you think of Jesus, are there specific images that come to mind? Are there specific stories that you've heard that, like, you think sum up his socialist, his humanitarian, his love everyone kind of hippie attitude? Like, what's the story or what's the image that really gets that to you?
Let's see. There's this one where I think he's walking along and there's this beggar, right? And a phone just started ringing in the middle of that. So he's walking along and there's this beggar, and the man asks him for some bread, and he comes up to another man and, you know, says, oh, you clearly have more food than you need. You should give some of that to him. Mm-hmm. You know, he was trying to just create some kind of a situation where this man could be fed. You know, it's, mm-hmm. I mean... There's certainly others. I guess I don't really haven't memorized any, would have been a good idea.
No, that's fine. I'm not asking you to memorize anything. I'm just really trying to see what bubbles up out of your unconscious mind. So, I'm liking it. Would you like to say anything, Joanna?
Sure. Jesus isn't really, like, a person for me. Jesus is like this idea that hasn't really played a big role in my life, and I don't think, hopefully for me, doesn't like have a big part in my unconscious. I think that Jesus is an idea that is like part of a system of ideas that helps people like figure out how they want to live their life. The idea of Jesus doesn't really help me figure out how to live my life.
Mm-hmm.
But that's cool.
Yeah. If I said that non-Christians in America are heavily influenced by Christian morality, would you agree with me?
I don't really know. I think that would be like kind of a big broad statement. I think that in certain ways, it's hard not to be influenced by Christian morality in this country, because I think it plays a certain role in like the framework of like institutions and the government and laws and stuff like that. But I don't know.
So he plays a big role in like our laws and our government institutions and stuff. Is that what you said? I'm just kind
of. Well, I don't know if Jesus does, but maybe just like Christian morals in general. I guess Jesus would be a part of that.
Yeah. Yeah, he would. So you just feel kind of separate from Jesus.
Yeah, I don't really think about Jesus very much.
Yeah. Have you ever felt alienated by people who do think about Jesus? Have you ever felt some kind of conflict, or have you do you know what I'm trying to get at? Have you felt angry at Jesus? Have you felt angry at Christians?
I've never felt angry at Jesus. I have felt angry at Christians and people that use the idea of Jesus to accomplish certain things or try and accomplish certain things. But there are also people who are like into the idea of Jesus, and I don't have conflict with them.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
It does. I think I'm kind of angry at Christianity and how it's insinuated in itself into my unconscious. At like, I didn't invite it there, and I didn't welcome it, but it like has formed many of my views on the world. Like whether or not I chose it, I was born with this like this sexuality that's like heavily saturated with Christian things, like monogamy and homosexuality is unacceptable, and women are to be, you know, questioned, and their intentions or should be questioned, and these things, like, even though I have the power to question them, they're suggested by many elements of my culture, and it's like I'm trying to work them out of my head all the time. And I think maybe because I'm trying to work them out of my head, I see them in other people's heads. And maybe it's me just projecting my own problems on other people, but I'm in this situation where I see Jesus everywhere I go. I see Jesus' morality everywhere I go. I see Jesus destroying the environment. I see Jesus genociding the North and South America and the entire globe, the entire non-white globe. I see Jesus behind our economic structures. I see all this stuff. But then, because I was emerged out of this Christian matrix, left with this like feeling of compassion, this feeling of empathy for Jesus, he suffered for my sins, and he's the greatest example of this humble dude who's willing to sacrifice everything for everyone, and so I should feel some kind of love toward him. But I also hate him because of all these things that I know his movement has done, and I wonder if he had anything to do with what his movement has become. And he probably really didn't, but at the same time I'm angry at him, and I'm wondering if you guys can relate to what I'm getting at in any way.
When you say that you see Jesus in everything, is that like, do you mean that you see an actual like non human deity figure that is like influencing those things, or do you see people that act in a certain way because they believe in Jesus?
Yeah, people act in a certain way because of other people who believe that Jesus served this function, or that Jesus was this person, and so they behave in certain ways, and these beliefs have certain observable impacts upon their behavior. Mm-hmm. And there's like environmental implications, like some of the three main orientations suggested by Christianity that hurt the environment are the command, which is in the Old Testament, to take dominion over the earth, to conquer the earth. It's an actual command in the Old Testament that was recognized by early Christians and used in early Christian philosophy, that we're left with this sense of entitlement. We're commanded to take over the earth. The other orientation, another, is that wilderness is something separate from human civilization. Or it's something separate. It's either like super sacred or it's super evil. But either way, it's like something separate. And then the third one is that there's this other realm that's better than this realm. Mm-hmm. And so this realm can just be, you know, left behind. You can not worry about it because you're going somewhere else. And while not everyone like totally agrees with all these three orientations, it's been suggested over the last couple thousand years, like so regularly, that it has observable impacts in like policies of governments over time and people, pioneers and everything. It just blows. What do you think, Evan?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you make a good point there. It's the idea of the world is ours to abuse however we want it because it was given by God is it's a source of frustration. It is. And so, yeah, I'm sort of wondering what you think about what you think about I finally actually remembered something, didn't I? A story.
Oh, no. You remembered a story?
Yeah, I remembered a story.
Nice.
All right, so anyways, one thing was Jesus was just being sort of, you know, crowned this Messiah. Mm-hmm. And one thing that happened back then was when the Jews, like, picked a king, mm-hmm. what they did was they would pick a king, and this person would lead them, and he would take them on all these great military victories and all this stuff. You know, mm-hmm. King David did that. King Solomon did that. Mm-hmm. A few people did that. And he sort of refused the crown, and he made this speech saying something along the lines of, so, you know, now I'm this important person in society, and I want you all to remember that whenever somebody goes hungry, it's me going hungry. Whenever somebody sits out in the cold, it's me sitting out in the cold, you know, something like that. It'd be like, you know, like Barack Obama being out there saying, well, you know, for every single American that suffers, I'm suffering. And, you know, I suppose he has made statements similar to that. But, mm-hmm. I mean, it would have been a big deal for this huge person who's supposed to be a military leader to be out there making this statement.
Yeah. That's interesting. And it goes back into, like, thinking, who is Jesus? And who did the early Christians think Jesus was? Why did the early Christians think Jesus was important? And you bring up this Messiah that was expected to come and like solve all the Jewish problems, all the Roman occupation, kick out the Romans and do all this great stuff. And so there was these rumors going around, and there's people like the Essenes, the people who wrote, you know, and the people who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls, like there's probably a bunch of groups that wrote those scrolls. They were all expecting this Messiah. All these early or first century Jewish groups were expecting this Messiah. And when Jesus came, if there was such a figure, some documents suggest that he came and he said, I'm not your military leader that you're expecting. And then he said something like, you just said, like, I'm Gandhi or something like that, whatever, you know. But it's still, people were expecting different things out of this Messiah. And so then early Christian groups emphasize different aspects of the Messiah, and they portrayed Jesus as being different things. Like some early Christians did portray him as almost like a warrior-like leader, a vengeful of Christianity's enemies. If you read that in like Revelations out of the New Testament, like all this catastrophic things happen to all these people who don't believe the way that the author of Revelation believed. But then there was other early Christian groups that saw Jesus as this like kind of Buddha figure, and all this, like he said these mysterious things that were really hard to understand. But then there was other Christians that saw Jesus as like this wise teacher who had all these wise things to say. I'm wondering if the socialist Jesus, if the humanitarian Jesus, I wonder if he is just like a product of the early Christian imagination just as much as like the warrior king
that the Jews expected was a product of their imagination, like.
Yeah. Yeah, and now I'm kind of curious, do you feel like this whole thing that clearly angers you, and he's looks very angry, I mean, just. Yeah. And this whole thing that angers you might be this idea that this thing that he has already so clearly refused in the past is being pushed on him again. This idea of the war leader, or the conquering everybody.
Well, I guess I'm just skeptical of any portrayal of Jesus. Anymore, I'm just skeptical of all of it. I'm skeptical of those goddess Christians who want to really emphasize Mary. I love it, though. I love hearing about Mary. I love hearing about the female in Christianity. It needs to be injected into that. But when they try to say that it's historically accurate, I just can't follow them down that path, because there's no record of it. There's no record that Jesus was a goddess worshiper, but there are many records that suggest he was, but there's no definitive like book that Jesus writes out like, I am this person, I believe these things are important, I believe that you guys should do this. There's none of that, and there's early Christian groups trying to define who Jesus is. And but I, when you say I'm angry, and I am angry, and I'm not angry because Jesus is being misrepresented and I think that they got it wrong. I'm angry because they're trying to present it like they know, but they know they don't know. They know they don't know who Jesus is. And if we just all were like, we can accept Jesus as a psychic fact, you know, because many people think about him. So he exists in their minds. But we shouldn't really try to, you know, totally define the figure, you know. We shouldn't try to say Jesus has got my back, he's, you know, Jesus follows my path, Jesus supports me. So does that make sense why I'm angry? Like, I'm trying to avoid putting forward one particular interpretation of Jesus, while at the same time I'm angry that people do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, so many of these, the New Testament is mostly a fifth person perspective.
Yeah.
You know, it was handed down from person to person to person to person orally, and then it was, and then it was written down by somebody. And the few accounts that were considered to be either, you know, the person actually met him, or the person, you know, had actually gotten it from somebody, or they had gotten it from somebody who got it from somebody, all those accounts were thrown out because apparently they humanized him too much during the, when the Romans decided to convert to Christianity. They did, you know, they decided, oh, what's going to go in the Bible? And they threw out basically the books that probably would have given people the best idea of who he really was.
That's awesome. There's this gospel called the Gospel of Thomas. It was found in Egypt along with a bunch of other early Christian texts. People theorize that these were probably buried around like 350 AD, which was right after this dude named Athanasius. He wrote this decree, and it's called the Easter Festal Letter, and it was the first list of books which has now become the New Testament. So right after he wrote this list and he gave it to all the churches, because he was the bishop of Alexandria in Egypt, he wrote this letter, and so all of a sudden all these monks who had been revering all these other books, they had all these other books, and they were like, these books are special to us, you know, and they're not on this list, what are we going to do? So they went out into the desert and buried them in this big old jar. In 1945, this Egyptian sheep herder was like digging for fertilizer up in the hills, and he found a jar and found the Nag Hammadi scrolls. And we had fragments of the Gospel of Thomas from this Greek site called like Oxyrhynchus or something, but we didn't have the full Gospel of Thomas. And the Gospel of Thomas from Nag Hammadi and the Gospel of Thomas from this Greek site have slight variations, but they're drawn from the same source, obviously. And the Gospel of Thomas puts forward this different picture of Jesus. It's like there's no narrative structure. There's no story. Jesus did this here, and then he went here and did that, and then he went here and did this. is more a collection of wise sayings. It's like, and scholars talk about how for the first, you know, for the early Christians, this is probably what their sacred texts were. They were collections of wise sayings that were not attached to a narrative structure. Now, the New Testament, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's like these wise sayings were put into a narrative structure by the writers of the New Testament. And then you have the creation of the historical Jesus. Because before this, no one claimed that Jesus was an actual historical person. For the first 200 years, no one's saying Jesus is a historical person. He's just a wise figure. Like many of those mystery religions all around Rome, like the worshippers of Mithras and Adonis and Dionysus, and he's understood to be more and less than a historical figure. So I forgot why I was even talking about that, but
I think that was my fault.
It's my fault.
So yeah, I mean, I think it's good to look at why they did that, and I think it was a lot of it was about control. I mean, they wanted to have one cohesive church.
Yep.
You know, and the Eastern Orthodox Church broke off not that long after that. The Lutherans break off eventually. Then you get all kinds of crazy churches popping up all over the place like you do now.
Yeah.
Seventh Advent Methodists, who started out because everybody walked into a field because they thought the world was going to end on the seventh, become a legitimate church when it didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's... they just keep multiplying pretty much like some kind of a church bunny rabbit.
Yeah. It's funny, too, how, like, if you look into, like, the Roman catacombs where they buried or where they left their dead, they'd, like, decorate the little chambers with the symbols they thought were important. And these pre-Christian Romans were decorating their burial chambers with symbols of fish and crosses and other familiar Christian symbols. And as you go through time and you watch these symbols that are on these burial chambers of these Roman people, you see that there's a smooth transition from pre-Christian times to Christian times, and they're using the same symbols. And I'm just like thinking, most of what we think Christianity, most of what is familiar about Christianity is Roman. And some of it is like things that I can't even name. This is these weird cultures that I don't know anything about. They're not weird. They're weird to me because I don't know about them. But it's a really big subject, and I don't mean to trick you into thinking that I'm going to provide you an answer on this radio show. I want to talk about it and think about it, and you can call me and tell me I'm wrong and get a hold of me somehow and talk with me on the show or whatever you feel like doing. And we got like 10 minutes left, and what else is on our minds?
I've been kind of zoning out because I don't know very much about Christianity, and these stories like don't really play a big role in my life. But I was really interested in what you said about like kind of working against and trying to deconstruct these systems that have kind of like developed in our minds because of the way that we grew up. And I don't know. I'd be kind of interested to know like how you go about doing that, and whether or not like this radio show is a part of that, and how maybe like what you think this project, how that relates to people who, I don't know, Jesus isn't important in their lives. You know, like what's the bigger picture of this? Like, what are you trying to do here?
Well, one way I could look at it is like there's an ecological disaster like around. And
I think there's an ecological disaster right now. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, I know what you're saying too, but also while there is such a disaster, like it's not apparent to most Americans. Mm. And if they cared to look at the facts, then they'd see it. But for some reason, they don't even care to look at the facts. And I'm hypothesizing they don't care to look at the facts because of these orientations that Christianity reinforces. And I would say this is relevant to non-Christians because Christianity has always played a huge role in the creation of high-level policy in the U.S. Like, one thing I can point to is, like, President Grant in 1870 handed all the reservations over to Christian denominations, which could prove that they had been engaged in missionary activity. What that did was amplify the forms of Christianity which were most aggressive in proselytizing. And so, like, there's been this alliance between the elite Americans and Christianity, and it's necessarily relevant to all Americans then. It's not. People should know what other people believe about Jesus because we're in a culture where what other people think affects the creation of our policy. We have to learn to draw some sort of consensus. We have to understand what people are, where they're coming from. And some people don't believe this earth matters. They're going to go to heaven. You know, some people believe that their main goal in life is to conquer all the animals and plants and humans on the earth. Some people believe that women are evil by God's decree, by whatever. And they actually believe this, and that, like, it affects their behavior. And I just think understanding that as a non-Christian will help you approach Christians. And I think in activist circles and in groups that are seeking to, like, cause some kind of change, what they think is good, like in left-leaning circles, there's a lack of discourse on Christianity. People don't know how to approach Christians, and so they alienate themselves from Christians. And when they're like, you guys are crazy, you don't know what you're talking about. And it just, like, further reinforces the Christians, like, they love to be persecuted. There's this martyr complex. And it's like, we're doing the good thing. You guys are out here trying to be the devil, you know? And I don't know. This radio show is part of that, is part of the healing, because for those who believe that Christianity is, like, one thing, and that Christianity has this Jesus, and Jesus says these things, like, Christians and non-Christians share in this misunderstanding about Christianity. For those people who don't know that there has always been diversity, they just can't approach Christians. And I don't think once you make a Christian angry, they're not going to listen to you. But if you can touch them, and if you can understand, like, where they're coming from, then you might get a little closer to having real communication. But I'm sure my radio show will be making Christians, like, really upset if they listened. But they're also good at not paying attention. And maybe most of it probably comes from, like, when I was little, I didn't grow up in some kind of church structure. I never was forced to go to church, but for some reason I just, like, had this belief and I had this, like, feeling like I needed to restrict my behavior according to what I thought Christians said was good. And I just, like, blindly believed in this stuff, and it had to have come from my society because my parents weren't putting it on me. I just took it all. And then as I got older, I was like, this isn't true. What's going on? God's not going to punish me if I masturbate or whatever. And then I got really angry. And then the more I got angry, the more I, like, wanted to do something so that other children wouldn't have to go through this process where they're like, Santa Claus is real. He gives you everything you need. You know, no, Santa Claus isn't real. Jesus is real. He's going to give you a palace in heaven. What? Jesus might not be real? That's, like, a painful process, and that happened to me, and I don't think it has to be that way because Christianity isn't that. Only certain kinds of Christianity are that. And I don't like those kinds of Christianity. And yep, I don't like them. Does that make any sense? Did I answer your question at all?
Yeah, no, that's good. I feel like in the end you kind of got to a really touchy subject, and I think like in terms of like how people raise their kids and the kinds of like freedom that children have or don't have, I think that's yeah, here.
I thought you wanted me to grab. I think Christians are going to love me. I just called their Lord and Savior a socialist.
Oh, no.
Yes. So, I mean, it's a good idea to bring up this subject. I mean, people need to talk about it. And maybe next time we should, like, grab somebody from that church two blocks away and drag them in here. Maybe ask, like, the priest or something.
Yeah, I want to get some of them in here because I'm not...
You're listening to KOW.
What are you doing? I'm obviously not... I'm no spiritual authority. I'm not, like, super scholar Steve. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just going to say that. So, like, I'm just trying to talk about it. I'm trying to think about it. And I think people should think about it. But I understand where you're coming from, too. You're like, people don't need to think about it. Like, I'm not trying to force people to think about it. And if it hasn't affected their lives in any great way, then I'm just going to say, you know, that's great. That's what I hope people can move toward. I hope people can be less and less affected by these destructive orientations, which are suggested by Orthodox Christianity. And, yep, it's... And it's not just one denomination of Christianity. I went to this non-denominational church, sat in, waved my hands in the air, and felt the spirit overtake me. And woo! And then I talked to the preacher afterwards. Well, then, the next week, I went to a Lutheran church. So from a non-denominational church to a Lutheran church. And it was the exact same sermon. It was the same sermon. Word by word, and it hit me like these people are getting emails from somewhere and it's telling them what to say, and it's across denominational lines. And Christianity isn't about the Bible. It's not about some thousands of years ago. Christianity is only serving to like justify American morality. It's like Jesus isn't a hard-working redneck. If there was a historical Jesus, he would be appalled by American society in general. He couldn't go to church with you on Sunday. He wouldn't feel at home in our world. And I just think there's so much confusion around it. I'm just going to keep talking about it. And as I talk about it, it'll sound more organized. So
what is Christianity? Like, what is Christianity for you? Are you trying to get away from Christianity? Are you trying to like get to some Christianity that is better? Do you consider yourself a Christian?
I don't think I'll be able to destroy Christianity. I won't be able to get rid of it.
If you could, would you?
Yes. And instead of doing that, instead of fighting for that goal, I'm going to try to change Christianity. And one thing I know that would help is the introduction of non-canonical scriptures, like books that have been left out of the Bible, need to be placed back into common Christian sermons. The Gospel of Thomas needs to be touched. The Gospel of Mary of Magdalene needs to be touched. They need to be spoken of in Sunday school. And then it's like in ecological systems, like diversity is healthy. I think that's true in mental systems too. Mm-hmm. I think a diversity of thoughts moving through this system of belief. It'll help people, like, change, because we're facing some major changes. They're not going to be able to face these changes unless they have these diverse concepts in their collective mind toolbox. And so we've got to insert those diverse concepts into that toolbox. And this was No Truth on KOWA 106.5. Thanks for listening. I'll see you on Tuesday.
Washington, baby.